You are with Cape Talk.
Views and news with Clarence Ford.
So across the Western Cape, there's been a steady rise in the unlawful harvesting and trading of rare succulent plants. And this has resulted in many other species facing potential extinction in the wild. The trade of illegal succulents allegedly grew rapidly after the 2020 pandemic. Succulent trafficking cases have risen from constituting 4% of all registered cases in 2018 to constituting 54% in 2022. That's a whole lot, and we need to make sense of it. And helping us to make sense of it today is Carl Brown, Wildlife Trade Compliance Specialist. Great to have you, Carl.
Morning, Clarence. Great to be here.
We're not talking about a protea here, are we? What is a succulent? What do you mean?
Well, basically, yeah, sorry to interrupt you there. Basically, a succulent plant is the ones we're thinking of specifically are the, if people have ever been up in the Makwaland area, these what they almost the little plants that look like almost like stones. Those little succulent plants are what are being targeted specifically. We call them succulents because they store water reserves in their stems or leaves, that sort of thing.
Okay, I think I've got the picture. Why are they being traded? Is it purely aesthetic or are there other reasons?
Well, the species that are being traded mostly the from the genus Conophyton, they are mostly traded for ornamental plants. As these little terrariums with a little couple of cacti, a couple of succulent plants in, as a display sort of thing, in houses and flats. There's no real evidence that there is any medicinal value in those sort of plants. So it's purely for ornamental aesthetic reasons.
And because of the unique look, that is why people are paying top dollar for it? Is that the rationale?
That's correct, yes. The demand for wild plants is actually quite high because plants, they have more what you would term character. They're drier, they've got scars, they've got more like leaf scale around them. they have more character, they look nicer. The plants grown in nurseries are nice and round and fat and juicy, and they look pretty, but they don't have that that wild character that the natural plants would have.
I got you. I think what you are describing is a market here. Can't we commercially trade with these things and create it under artificial circumstances, maybe?
There are nurseries in the Western Cape and I think in the Northern Cape as well that have licenses to cultivate these plants, but they don't cultivate that easily. And they take a while to make flowers and set seed. So they do make seed and they do cultivate, but it takes a while. And you know, obviously, with the market, the demand, people want the pretty plant, the nice looking plant. They want it now. They're not prepared to wait for a time period for those things to display.
Okay, we've read about it, and we've read about it happening in the Namaqualand. We just get a sense from what you are saying that it's coming a little closer to home.
Well, it's actually happening throughout the Namaqualand, going up into the Northern Cape, into right up to the border of Namibia. But also, we're starting to see people targeting species in the Langeberg and those sort of areas as well. It's plants that occur in those areas that are fairly localized, endemic to those areas. Mm. And that's the spread has been coming down this side as well, yeah.
Okay, so you say they take a long time to regenerate, and hence the concern, hence maybe the very, and it's not alarmist then, a language that you are employing. We're talking about extinction is the word that you are using. Tell us more about how dangerous a situation we are confronting.
Sandy has been recently doing a relisting of all the, especially the Conophyton genus, and this is the National Biodiversity Institute, and they have upgraded the protection status on the red list for plants on all of the Conophyton species. Previously, I think they were least concern. They've upgraded them to various higher grades of protection. I can't exactly put my finger on what their specific grades of protection are, but they have recently upgraded them in the past year or two. And the situation is quite dire because these plants, as I mentioned, these plants take a while in nurseries to develop. They take even longer in nature to develop and to regenerate. A plant the size of a man's fist could be 50 to 100 to 150 years old.
Wow. Okay, and why do we also have the sneaking suspicion that they are stolen literally in broad daylight? Why do we not have any law enforcement on the issue?
We do actively police these things. The problem is the distribution of area. We have...
Carl, we've got a suspect line. I don't know if you're moving around while chatting with us, but you are coming and going. So if you are moving around, maybe just if you can stay in one place, maybe that would help. We want to hear everything that you've got to share with us.
Okay,
that's cool.
Yeah, as I was saying, the plants that have been targeted occur across such a vast stretch of the landscape, and we only have limited policing resources. We partner with national parks and with the police stock theft and endangered species units to police these illegal activities. But as I say, resources are stretched quite thinly.
So they're finding their way to the east from the Namaqualand and from the Langeberg region. Would they be flown out? Would they be flown out as cargo? Would they be taken out with a ship? Do we have any sense of the networks in place to enable the theft of these succulents?
Well, what has happened is we found that some of the people that have previously been involved in abalone smuggling and similar types of trafficking have become involved in this illegal activity as well. So they're using the same sort of trafficking routes that previously would have been used for abalone and probably still are being used for abalone. And we found that they will even use just a simple courier. And they will put it in a box and they will send it out via a manual courier company and declare it as ornaments or fruit. We had a case where boxes were stopped by customs, and when I opened the boxes, these plants they were like toy boxes inside, professionally sealed as if you'd taken them off the racks of a toy shop, with the plastic cling wrap. When I opened up the boxes, each box had plants inside, and they were declared as toys.
Oh, wow. Very sophisticated, and that would suggest entrenched networks. So what measures are you putting in place? What is Cape Nature doing specifically to combat this illegal trade?
Well, we have staff in mainly the Van Reinsdorp area, because that's where most of the activities are happening, and they are actively working in those areas to combat this scourge. On a national basis, there's also a national strategy that's been developed in conjunction with the National Department and the National Biodiversity Institute to bring more resources to bear on this issue to try and address the whole sphere of influences that are involved, because it's not just a biodiversity concern. If there's socioeconomic drivers behind it. The people in the areas around Springbok, Namibie, Okiepa, those areas have lost their jobs. The mining industry has scaled down, so people are looking for work. People are looking for income. So it's not just addressing the biodiversity side of things. The national strategy aims at addressing also the socioeconomic factors that are involved in driving this.
So are you banned from taking this succulent or these succulents out of the ground? Is the law clear on the legality of this issue?
Yes. People may not pick flora on property of which they are not the landowner without a permit and without the permission of the landowner. And all land is owned, whether it's owned by a person or a company or the state. So whatever property you find yourself, if you want to pick plants, you need permission of that landowner.
Okay, so it's not permission from some authority, some state kind of imposed entity to govern trade in the species?
No, on property, they would need to approach Cape Nature for permits, depending on the protection status of the plants.
Okay.
So these conophytums, these succulent plants, typically are all protected, and permits are needed to pick those plants.
Okay, and those permits, again, with the permission of the landowner, and that in collaboration with Cape Nature?
Cape Nature or North Cape, whichever Nature Conservation Authority is
Is the landowner allowed to pick the plants on his or her farm?
The landowner may pick plants, but it also depends on what they plan to do those things. If they plan to pick for trade, then they take licenses from Cape to get those plants. The landowner picks one or two for his own personal use, he's allowed to.
Okay. And those permits from Cape Nature enable what? Enable you to trade with it, to export it?
Well, export is a specific permit as well.
Okay.
If a person is selling in the Western Cape, they need licenses from Cape and registration. If a person plans for them from the country, they will need to apply for permits from Cape Nature as well.
Okay, just so you say it's pretty serious. We need to be aware of this. Maybe we are buying here in Cape Town from sources unaware of the status of this particular endangered status of these succulents. So this is about awareness at this particular moment in time.
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
Carry on.
No, sorry, you were breaking up there, Carl. It's an intermittent breakup that is causing us to clash over each other. Sorry, you were saying?
It's definitely important that people become aware of what's happening, especially in the areas around Van Rensdorp, also Robertson area, the various different places where these things are found, just to keep an eye open for suspicious activity. Vehicles that are where they're not supposed to be, people in the felt where they're not supposed to be, that sort of thing. And that's most of that. We've picked up a lot of cases where people have noticed something in the felt that doesn't look right.
Yeah, we know of the issues going down in Namaqualand, and it is such an important part of our heritage, these amazing succulents out on that side. They are now threatened, and maybe an outright ban must be considered at this moment.
That's one of the things that's concerning at the moment. We need to start thinking about what we can do to combat this, and the drastic measures such as a ban on trade might be one of the things that we need to consider, yes.
Yeah. Carl Brown, you are a wildlife trade compliance specialist. So do you facilitate for trade in these succulents?
Well, basically what I do is obviously we have a biodiversity economy in the Western Cape, and there are other commodities that are exported and imported legally. So that's where I would fall in. Checking shipments going in and out, making sure that all the permits are in order, and enforcing the legislation where appropriate.
Carl, thank you for shining a spotlight on this matter across the Western Cape then. Robertson, yes, you are included. People are unlawfully harvesting and trading of rare succulent plants, and it is these plants, these species are now facing potential extinction in the wild. They're absolutely beautiful. The symmetry is awesome. Just the mere fact that they survived such arid conditions. And, of course, there's the beautiful, colourful flowers that come from some of them as well. The reason, the one good reason that we go to Namaqualand annually in August, which is in a week's time, because those fields are going to come alive with it. And if you're going to head up there, maybe you want to spend some really up close and personal time with those succulents. They're just absolutely amazing. It is time for news. It comes your way at 11 o'clock at the top of the hour. And after that news bulletin, we'll talk a whole lot more on Views and News.